Well, good morning. We too will be traveling this next week. We're leaving, planning on leaving Thursday morning sometime and traveling up to convention, summer convention, and we will be coming home Sunday. So we'll interest your prayers as well. Safety traveling. This morning, I've been blessed already by several things. The Sunday school lesson kind of went along with what I'm sharing this morning just a little bit. There's several mentions of things that kind of piqued my interest since I was what my sermon's going to be. And then some of the songs that were led continued that. So the title of my message this morning is, Are You Seeking? And I've been thinking about this over the last month or so, kind of just different things kind of along the way kind of led me to what is seeking. As I read the scriptures this week, I came across a story, and it comes from 2 Chronicles, and I'm going to read two chapters, 14 and 15, and it's talking about the kings of Israel. And the one king was King Asa, the one we're going to talk about, and he was a good man. He was a good king. But God wanted something better from his life. So we're going to start in 2 Chronicles 14, verse 1. It says, So Abijah, which would be Asa's father, rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. In his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. And when you read that about a king, that's pretty good, because oftentimes it says he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. But Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places, and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandments. He also removed the high places and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah, and the kingdom was quiet under him. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said to Judah, Let us build these cities and make walls around them, and towers, gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. So Asa's doing what he thinks he should do. It says he sought the Lord. He's building up fortresses and making things safer. He's removing the altars, removing the statues, the wooden images. He's doing what is good and right in the eyes of his Lord, of the Lord his God. And then verse 8 says, And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000 who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor, 580,000 men total. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Maresha. So now he's faced with 1,000,000 men versus 580,000. That's roughly one for every two of the Ethiopians. Pretty insurmountable. But we know who his God was. It says, So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephatha and Maresha. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to get to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover. For they had broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities. For there was exceedingly much spoil in them. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Asa won a mighty battle against overwhelming odds. What did he do? He called out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord for help. He was doing what it was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. So chapter 15 begins, and they're returning home with the spoils of war. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. Kind of like he did on Jeremiah this morning. And it says, he went out to meet Asa and said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you." One of the things that was mentioned in our Sunday school lesson, it says that verse 16 says, "I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me." But here we have Asa. He's doing what he thinks is right and good in the eyes of the Lord. But God has something more. He's coming back from the spoils of war. He's conquered the Ethiopians. And he's met by, I don't know if it was a prophet, somebody who had the Spirit of God had came upon. How would you like to be that prophet, that Oded? And they're coming back, the king is coming back from war, and he's been victorious. And you go out there and tell him, "The Lord has been with you. But now you need to seek him. You need to seek him. If you don't seek him, if you forsake him, he will forsake you." It says, verse 3, he continues on. He says, "For a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in. But great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." He's encouraging Asa to be strong, to seek him, to seek the Lord. Verse 8 says, "And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. Then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For they came over to him in great numbers from Israel. When they saw that the Lord his God was with him, they gathered together at Jerusalem in the third month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. Then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was to be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. Then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their soul. And he was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Also, he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa the king from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Asa thought he was doing what was good and right. But when he began to seek the Lord, when he began to look, to seek him, he realized there was more work to be done. Began to remove the idols that had still been left in the land. He built up, restored the altar of the Lord. And then it says they entered into a covenant. The whole nation entered into a covenant to seek the Lord of the fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. What would that look like if we, as a nation, would enter a covenant to seek the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul? You know, I think of the first chapter, there are 14, of a church that's going along, and the church is there, people are there Sunday morning, whenever there's a service, there's people there. But they're just kind of coasting along. Asa was just kind of coasting along. But when God called him to seek him, Asa realized there was more work to be done. One of the songs that was sang this morning was "Revive Us Again." We all need that revival. It doesn't matter where we're at in our lives. We can use more revival. The other one that was sang was "Nearer, My God, to Thee." We want to be near to God. We want to seek Him. And the amazing thing about it is you read time and time again where it says, if you seek Him, He will be found by you. God's not trying to hide from us. He wants us to find Him. But He also wants us to seek Him. But there's one thing. We have to see value in God, or else we're not going to seek Him. You know, I have a piece of paper here. It's not worth much. It would be worth a little bit to me this morning if you took it from me. I'd want it back. But this morning, we crossed over, coming down Kiwi Road, we crossed over 185. And all of a sudden, I slammed on the brakes, and I backed up. And I told Bodie, open the door. I said, look in the grass right there. I seen a dollar bill fly up when the truck in front of me passed it. I stopped and picked this up. I saw value in that. There's value in that. That dollar bill, it's not much value, but it was worth me picking it up. Do we see value in seeking the Lord? Is it worth our time to spend seeking the Lord? If we seek Him, He will be found by us. But there's also a warning there. If we forsake Him, He will forsake us. Matthew 6, 24. It says, I'm kind of lost. Here he goes. No man can serve two masters, for either will you hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being money. We have to see. We're going to do one of two things. We're going to either seek the Lord, or we're going to coast along, or we're going to forsake the Lord. I guess there's three options. But coasting along is a lot like forsaking the Lord, so really there's only two. And God does not accept that kind of commitment from us. God is a jealous God. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 23 to 29 tells us a little bit about that. It says, "Take heed to yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. For the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous fire." How many of us would have a very good marriage if we treated our spouse like we treat God? We spend about 5 minutes a day praying, maybe reading, just a little bit, we get a little verse. The rest of the time we spend chasing other things, other gods. If I spent the rest of my day chasing women, my wife would not be very happy. It says, For the Lord God is a jealous God, consuming fire. Then it goes on, he says, "When you beget children and grandchildren and have grown old in the land, act corruptly and make a carved image in the form of anything, you do evil in the sight of the Lord your God to provoke him to anger. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you will soon utterly perish from the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. You will not prolong your days in it, but you will be utterly destroyed. And the Lord will scatter you among the peoples, and you will be left few in the number among the nations where the Lord will drive you. And there you will serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell." But then verse 29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul." God doesn't want part of you. He doesn't want half of you. He doesn't want 75% of you. He doesn't want 90% of you. He doesn't want 99% of you. He wants all of your heart and your soul. He wants you to seek him. Again, it says, "You will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him." He's there. He's waiting on us. If we want him. If we want to seek him. So the question is, how do we seek him? How do we find him? 1 Chronicles 22:17-19. King David is talking to the children of Israel and to Solomon his son. And he's giving instructions. And he says, in verse 17, he says, "David also commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, 'Is not the Lord your God with you? And has not he given you rest on every side? For he has given the inhabitants of the land into my hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring this ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy articles of God into the house that is to be built for the name of the Lord.'" He says, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Set. You have to make a decision. It's not going to happen on its own. We're not going to magically wake up one day and know God so much better because we've just been coasting along. Just like we're not going to wake up one day and lose 50 pounds and still be healthy. It takes a conscious decision on our part. Second Chronicles 12, verse 14, talks about Rehoboam. would have been King Asa's grandfather. It says, and he did evil because he did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. His heart was not prepared to seek the Lord. It takes effort. It takes a willingness. How do we go about the process of losing weight? Of getting in shape? Well, it takes discipline. It takes effort. Have to eat less. That takes discipline. And if you want to get stronger, you have to work out. And working out's not fun. It's not something that you wake up in the morning and say, I can't wait to go work out and lift weights. And can't wait to go run. At least not if you're going to get anywhere. I played a couple innings of softball the other night. And I ran to first base. And by the time I got to first base the first time, my legs were hurting. I'm out of shape when it comes to running. But it hurts. If you're going to get in shape, there's going to be some pain involved. If we're going to seek God, we're going to have to make a conscious effort to spend time in His Word, to maybe look a little different than what we've looked in the past. We okay with that? Proverbs 18, or Proverbs 8, verse 17 says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. It's going to take diligence. It's going to take a continual effort to find him. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13. Very familiar. 11 is very familiar. It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. We love that verse. It says, then you will, verse 12 says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. There it is again. God wants all of us. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. If we seek the Lord, he's not going to turn us away. He wants us. But one of the obstacles that comes into our way is pride. What are people going to think of us, think of me, if I look differently than what I used to do? If I don't do the things I used to do? If I don't go where I used to go? What are people going to think of me? Psalms 10, verse 4 says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. In his proud countenance does not seek God. And then another verse that's very familiar to us is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. But first, we have to humble ourselves. We have to get that pride out of our lives. And then we can pray and seek his face. Colossians 3. verses 1 through 11, says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge, according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, nor free, but Christ is all and in all. If we've become Christians, then we are raised with Christ. It says, seek those things which are above. If we've accepted Christ into our lives, it's time to seek those things which are above. It says where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That's one of those things that we're going to have to make our mind up. We're going to have to say, you know what? What I want to do is not important. What does God want me to do? We're going to have to make a decision. And I'm not one who likes to preach doom and gloom and who likes to preach persecution. I'd rather not talk about it. But I'm telling you, the control that some people are trying to gather over people is not a good thing. I'm not saying persecution is coming to America, but it's definitely looking a lot more like it than it did 10 years ago. Verse 4 says, "When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry." We're going to have to die to self every day. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be like a piece of chocolate cake sitting in front of us every meal, and we're going to have to say no to it every day. We're going to have to change. Have to put on the new man. We're going to have to seek God. The last scripture I have is Luke 8, verse 43 to 48. And it's the story of the woman who had the issue of blood. And she desperately, desperately wanted to get to Jesus. It says, "Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped, and Jesus said, 'Who touched me?' When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, 'Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, "Who touched me?" But Jesus said, 'Somebody touched me, for I perceive power going out from me.' Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She had declared to him in the presence of all the people, and the reason she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, 'Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace.'" She was seeking the Lord. She pushed through the throng of people that were massed around Jesus. When Jesus went places, people crowded around him. Yet she fought her way through just to get to Jesus, just to touch him. knowing she would be healed, having faith that she would be healed. She was seeking her Lord and Savior. Are we seeking? Do we see value in being a better Christian? Being a better follower of Jesus? Are there things that we're going to have to give up? Because if we seek Him, if we seek Him with all our heart and with all our soul, He's going to go into them little corners in your life. And there's going to be some things that I just do not give up. They're not that bad. Maybe they're not bad at all. But guess what? God doesn't have room for things that aren't bad. He doesn't want things that maybe aren't bad, but He wants everything. He wants all of you. You might have to give up some of the things in your life that you don't want to give up. But if you seek Him, He will be found. That's the wonder of the promise that He says. If we seek Him, we will find Him. It's not going to be like seeking for something that we may not find. Something that may be lost or hidden in our garage that we know that we have. It's there. I just don't know where it's at. I just have to go find it. We may not ever find it. God is there. He will be found if we're willing to seek Him. Let's stand for prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning. I want to thank You for Your word that You have given us. Father, I pray that we would be like Asa and the nation of Judah, that when You called them and You challenged them to seek for You, that they did. And that they sought You with all their heart and with all their soul. Father, I pray that You would just be with us in the coming weeks, months. Father, I pray that You would work in our lives. Father, I pray that You would root out the idols, the things that we've allowed to come into our lives that maybe they're not bad. Maybe we want to hang on to some of them. Father, I pray that You would just root them out, that You would just reveal them to each one of us as something that You don't want in our lives. Father, I pray that we would seek You. Father, I pray that we would find You. And that we would follow after what You have for us. That we would not let pride get in the way of what will others think of us if I don't do what I used to do. Father, I pray that You would just give us courage, give us boldness, and give us strength to be obedient to Your calling. Father, I pray that You would help us all to seek You with all our hearts and all our souls. Father, I pray that You would be with the meal today. Father, I pray that You would bless the hands that prepared it. I pray that You would bless it to our bodies, and that the strength we receive from it would bring honor and glory to You. I pray that You would just go with us and keep us this week. Watch over us and protect us as we go. We travel many miles. I pray that You would grant safety. In Your name I pray. Amen. You are dismissed.